This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome to whatever episode number this is of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady, and, you know, I was going to do a real solid, like, I actually was going to do a girl group episode today, but I woke up with a migraine. I've been laying around in a bathrobe the entire day, and all I really want to do is kiki and chat and talk shit, really. I just want to talk shit about people with somebody who relieves my stress, and I thought, who better to do that with than Kara Berry? Kara, how are you?
Oh, Troy, you're an angel. I'm good, crazy, sexy, cool. I'm feeling all of the things. I'm so excited to be back.
Or wait, do you lean more towards crazy, sexy, or cool at this moment?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's, you know, the perennial question, you know? I've always felt myself somewhere on the spectrum between sexy and cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm leaning towards that a little bit more cool than sexy. We're like a 75 cool, 25 sexy.
Okay. I want you to know that as you're saying that, I'm picturing you right now in like silk pajamas blowing. You have like a T-Boz, you have the T-Boz mushroom cut with the two pieces on the side.
Two pieces on the side, of course.
And you're just doing a slow motion butterfly while a fan blows your pajamas.
I mean, I just was. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Well, how's life? What is new with you? I feel like I haven't talked to you. Well, we did a stereo together recently, which was fun, but like we've had a real like sit down moment in a while.
We haven't. I've been good. You know, I've been out here safely in these streets because I feel like in about 6 weeks I'm not going to be going anywhere again. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, just like living my best life, trying out different ciders and low calorie alcoholic seltzers, and, you know, just being a woman of style and grace.
As you should, girl. Can I just tell you that, so I've been telling people, I've been trying to convince my friends that even though they don't believe me and it's easily Googleable, I was trying to tell them about that alcoholic spiked smoothie that you were drinking when we were on stereo. Yes. Uh-huh. And the reactions I've gotten have been so volatile. I really do feel like Erica Jane amongst a group of friends that I don't trust. I'm not kidding. Like, A, nobody believes me that it's real. B, everybody's like, ugh, that'll make you sick, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I actually think it sounded really good. And then I told them that it was called like Smoog or something, or Smooge. And they really turned up their noses at me.
And that's fair. I can't fault for them for that. I actually just saw that when I was at the store earlier. It's good, you guys. Like, if you are looking for an alcohol in the morning moment, if you like the consistency of a naked juice smoothie, then I would say go for it.
Oh my God, you had me a naked smoothie. That's my favorite consistency for like smoothie wise.
Yeah, not too thick, not too thin.
Right. And like mixable. And then like morning, yes. Like that's a good vacation. We're waking up at 11 to drink kind of gig.
Exactly. It's got just a hint of effervescence. And yeah, this episode is sponsored by Smooj.
It honestly has not left me. Like, I wake up in cold sweats thinking about it. Well, I figured Kara and I could just kind of talk about some pop culture stuff today. I made a little list of things that I wanted to ask you about and just kind of get your opinion on. I figured we could just, like I said, just kiki. And one story in particular, I know for sure that you haven't heard anything about, so I'm anxious to hear your thoughts.
I'm shaking.
First of all, okay, so it has been reported that Britney Spears has assaulted her housekeeper, allegedly, and that there was some sort of dispute between them that ended in Britney slapping her housekeeper's phone, violently slapping her housekeeper's phone out of her hands. The woman reported that she wasn't hurt, but it says deputies attempted to get in touch with Spears and she would not speak to them. That was like allegedly according to the sheriff's office. Yeah, so this woman called the police.
And so when did she allegedly pull this reverse Naomi Campbell?
Right, it's giving very much Naomi Campbell. I think that it was like in the last day or so. Maybe yesterday.
God. Oh my God. So honestly, like, I'm fine with that. Britney's been through so much, like, whatever. Your phone is probably fine.
Like, girl, really? Are you really this petty? You're gonna report a phone swat? Like,
grow up, girl. Like, I have nothing for that. I have nothing for you.
I'm gonna be honest with you, and this could be, I do have a slight bias, but I don't buy it. Like, I honestly, first of all, her like home help is all hired by Jamie, and we know that these people are like placed in her home to spy.
Right. I mean, not to victim blame, but like, what led up to this, ma'am?
Right.
Did she say that?
Right, like, were you recording her for her dad or something?
Like, right.
What were you doing that led to Britney Spears spotting your... And, like, even if, first of all, none of us in this world know Britney Spears to be a violent person, really. It just feels fishy. It just feels like, to me, and this is what I've been afraid of, and this is what I wanted to ask you about. Now, I have been very clear that I'm not, you know, I don't know a lot about court things, but this feels like they're gearing up for a smear campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. This feels like just more of the same, more of this bullshit, more of this, like, trying to frame Britney as being unstable, incapable of being in her own care. Mm-hmm. You know, Jamie really did have her best interest in mind. Like, literally, fuck off. I'm not hearing it. And, like, honestly, if Britney Jean Spears has a bad day in 2021, who could possibly blame her? Like,
right.
Just take the L and go. She didn't, like, beat your ass. She threw your phone on the ground. Get over it.
Yeah, get the fuck over it. Are you kidding me? The amount of phones that this woman deserves to swat? Like,
honestly, like, she deserves to have it the most elaborate labyrinth built and just, like, any sort of weapon that she chooses and just hunt every single person in her family down. So I don't want to hear this.
Like, that, what was that movie called where they like got to hunt people?
Oh, fucking, ugh.
You know what I'm talking about. I know
exactly what you're talking about, where the students all go on this island and they get to fight everybody.
Battle Royale.
Yeah. Battle Royale, yeah.
Yes, Britney deserves her, oh my God, Britney deserves a Battle Royale moment where Jamie Lynn and Lynn are in the classroom and told to run, and she gets to choose from, like you said, a plethora of like Jeff Bezos level weapons that are very innovative and tech savvy, for sure.
Yeah, I want to hear like a Jordan Peele style horror version of Oops, I Did It Again.
Yes.
And, you know, just like, I we deserve that. She deserves that.
Performed by like Janelle Monáe.
Yeah. Totally. Completely.
Yeah, I call bullshit. I think that this woman is the thing that I guess that scares me is like, it's one thing for them to use Instagram to like confuse people and smear her name and make her look bad, and it's really effective, you know. But it's a whole other thing to like start planning stories like this. Like, I just feel like at this point, the thing I guess that freaks me out is like Jamie Spears kind of has nothing to lose at this point, right? Like, he's a bitter, mean, old, abusive piece of shit drunk. And it just scares me because, you know, there is a lot of stuff that obviously her family knows about her that she probably doesn't want to be out into the world. And you know, Jamie Lynn is just one Instagram live away from like ruining her sister's life even more. So it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah. I mean, they're a real wild card, that bunch. And it's scary because it's like caged rats at this point. And it's just only a matter of time before Jamie Lynn gnashes her like gnarled teeth into somebody's arm.
She's gonna butter knife Britney at some point, and we know it. We know it's coming.
We know it's coming. It's gosh, what a scary time for us all.
Honestly, I mean, listen, Brit, we're always rooting for you, hon. And if you did swat that phone, good on you. Swat more.
Good on you.
Yeah. Literally, grow out a couple of your nails and swat as many items as you want out of these fuckers' hands.
Britney deserves to just be scratching people. Anybody that crosses her path.
She really does. Like, she deserves to, at any moment, if she wants to literally haul off and claw at somebody's skin, it should be fully okay. Well, I guess that's developing, so we'll see what happens with it. God, I mean, you know, poi, hopefully, you know, this doesn't, obviously, or I should read her lawyer's statement, because her lawyer did respond to this. He said, this is nothing more than an overblown alleged misdemeanor involving a he said she said about a cell phone with no striking and obviously no injury whatsoever. Anyone could make this accusation. This should have been closed immediately. So I know, I mean, we just have to be happy that, you know, she's got an amazing lawyer that has her best interest and is looking out for her, and she's not just like on her own, like literally pulling fucking law books from the library and like reading about what conservatorship means 13 years into her being in it, because they're keeping her away from stuff, you know.
Yeah I'm so happy that she has somebody who is not like a shark in the water who's trying to like get her best interests, because we do know that like she can fall victim to, you know, being a little too sweet, being a little too naive, and letting bad people in her circle. So I'm glad that there's somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing, seems to have her best interests in mind, and isn't interested in like the circus of it all. No pun intended.
Right. All eyes on her. I'll stop.
Yeah.
don't do that, Kara. Don't do that. All right. So another thing I wanted to talk to you about today, and this I like really want to get into with you. Do you care about the Sex and the City movie, or do you not care, or like where do you fall?
Okay, so here's the sick thing about me is that either for the past several years, either during like the doldrums of summer or the holidays, I do a Sex and the City rewatch, and it's one of the few shows that I always will go back to. I know like every episode, I know what's gonna happen, I know the mannerisms, like I know everything. With that being said, I'm only Sex and the City like canon, like the show is what exists for me, and I understand that there are movies out there. I saw the first one in theaters and I was like, this is just not for me. It's right. And I've saw the first half of Sex and the City 2 and was like, I can't, like, I'm not gonna do this. So with that being said, I'm conflicted. I want to see the differences. I'm more interested in watching this than I was the second movie, and definitely more than I would have the third movie. So you know, I'm like halfway in. How are you feeling?
Wow, first of all, you could not have like said it better. You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm a canon girl. Like,
yeah,
you know, I found that first movie to be like effective for what it was. You know, it was like a big, giant, huge budget spectacle, and it was fun. And you know, it felt like it was supposed to be done at that moment. Mm-hmm. It really did feel like they had covered everything.
Yes.
And, but I'm a canon person, and I will tell you something. And I have a lot of, like, I have thoughts about this, and you're the perfect person to talk about this because it feels like we're on the same page. My issue with Sex and the City is that at a certain point, the show turned.
Mm-hmm.
And it became full whimsy, right?
Yes.
Full fantasy.
I would say, like, after they had good four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the time that Sarah got pregnant, and they had to do that short fifth season.
Right.
And yeah, season six, where it definitely had a different tone.
Yeah, like it had gone from being this, like, very sort of grounded in reality, almost like I would say very gritty, you know, real like HBO show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Carrie was like, and I have things also to say about Carrie that I really need your thoughts on, but we'll get to it. But it was a very sort of gritty show grounded in a real, like, relatable reality. A New York that felt at least like, even though it was completely whitewashed, it at least felt like recognizable or something. Like, it just felt like human mm-hmm. people. And then it just went like full, let's get carried away. And like,
yes, it was too glossy. They were constantly walking Madison Avenue, whereas like in the first seasons, you would see them down in the village or down, like, you know, just like on the Staten Island Ferry or, you know, things like that. Yeah, it just felt like, you know, well, they would always say that the city was like the fifth girl. It really was in the first four seasons. And it just got a little too polished, too glossy. But damn, I mean, you know, Miranda never looked better.
Oh my God. I mean, can we talk? Like, if there was one reason for the show to become more polished, more glossy, and less grounded in reality, it was simply for the glow up of Miranda fucking Hobbs. My God. Like,
get you a proper haircut. Let's get you out of this, like, Paula Poundstone collection.
I'm in love, all dressed up in love.
Yeah, crazy, dude. Wow, this is such a healing moment talking about Sex and the City with me.
I know. Okay, so what are your thoughts on, like, what you've seen as far as the photos of the movie?
Oh gosh, I like hate that it's so open.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing everything, and we're seeing the revolving door of old people from the show and who's coming back and, you know, all of that. I, you know, that sucks. I like a little bit of mystery, but like, it could have never really happened like that realistically.
Yeah, it makes me sad. Like, I hate that we know every single, I mean, so far we literally know everything. Like, there's nothing that we will be surprised about.
Nothing.
And, you know, people keep making, so obviously this infamous, like, prairie dress from H&M that Sarah Jessica Parker is wearing, like, has made the rounds. I mean, when we see it in the movie, we'll have PTSD for sure.
That's her.
Right. It's just been nonstop, this press cycle of seeing Sarah Jessica Parker walk around in this prairie dress. And people have been making, you know, people have had a lot of complaints because she's like not looking glam, and like people want more. And I have thoughts about the fashion also of Sex and the City. Like, I love how much influence Sex and the City gave fashion. Like, it was a really fun time to be young in the early 2000s, right?
Yes. So literally last week, I just finished watching season three. I watched all of season three, and just like the big flower on the shoulder, Carrie, like, I think season three Carrie is the best. I think her hair is the perfect curl is perfect. The color is perfect. I thought her fashion was never better. Never better.
Can you give me some, like, what are some standout? Cause I'm like, my mind is blurred. What are some standout season three looks?
Oh, the Dior dress where she meets Natasha, and Natasha, the news dress.
Oh, say less. Say less.
Yeah. A moment, an absolute moment.
Damn.
Yeah, she had a lot of, that was the, in the early season, she was dating the politician, so she was doing a lot of, like, throwback Jackie O looks that I really liked.
Oh my god, yes!
Yeah, yes.
Oh wow, yeah, season three is just chef's kiss, peak Sex in the City, because it's, like, it's got its legs, it knows what show it is, it, like, has figured out its identity, but it isn't so far crossed over into the dark side yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Well, people are making complaints because they, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker is, like, wearing this, like, this cheap dress or whatever. And, I mean, if you are a real fan of this show, you know that, like, it wasn't until later in the series that she was literally, like, going to get bagels in, like, you know, archived Alexander McQueen. Like, right. The point of Carrie Bradshaw at the beginning was that she was, like, a high-low girl. So she would wear, like, thrift clothes and, like, you know, she would, like, wear, like, designer stuff, but was always, like, she was, like, it was more relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, she seemed like somebody who, like, definitely did high-low.
Right.
Could never afford, but, like, you would see her in a thrift shop and she would have all the good finds.
Exactly. You'd be like, oh my god, I can't believe you found, like, an old Dior belt at the thrift store. That's crazy. Like, that girl. Right.
Mm-hmm.
People have, you know, people are very upset about this, and I'm like, you are literally... If they go back to Carrie being, like, a human person who isn't just literally wearing couture all day, like, yeah. I would love that. Like, I'm not against her wearing an H&M dress with a pair of, you know, $400 heels. Like, I think that that's, like, Carrie in her most pure form.
I agree. I think that's the charm. And I don't think necessarily, like, it, I know that style is so attached to the show, but... It doesn't necessarily mean that, like, her evolving as a person or getting older, like, meant that that part of it had to go away. Yeah, I would definitely like to see. And do you know if Pat Field, is she back?
So the controversy is that she's not back, and this is the only time she's ever not styled. And I think people are blaming that. But her, like, right-hand person, like, the person that had assisted her throughout the whole series is doing it, is, like, leading
it. Okay, this is kind of like right.
It makes your the hairs in the back of your neck stand up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's never going to be a better relationship than between Sarah Jessica and Pat Field, fashion wise.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, like, she there's a story that is told through this show. It's a second story. It's like a B plot through fashion.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And, like, that's Patricia Fields' story. Like, she, that's her story. And it's, like, sad that it's not going to be, I don't know, it's just not going to be the same. It will not be the same. It won't.
Yeah, I agree.
I also have, okay, before we move on from the sex study, I have one last thought. And it's specifically about Carrie. I want to know what you think of this, because it's a controversial opinion.
Okay.
So I see a lot of people, especially younger people in the TikTok, who have just started watching Sex and the City for the first time. And they're like, they all are, like, having these really profound thoughts about how they can't believe it, but they don't like Carrie. Like, they find her to be really irritating and they can't believe it. They're like, oh my God, she's so annoying. Why did people ever like her?
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before, but that's always annoyed me because I think, like, Carrie is supposed to be annoying. Like, I don't think that it's, like, some big discovery to be like, hey, wait a minute. She's annoying. Like, you're not discovering anything. Like, the point of Carrie Bradshaw is that she's a fuck up. Like, she's supposed to be, like, an anti-hero. And the show was on at the same time as The Sopranos, and Tony Soprano was a fuck up. And it was like Carrie and Tony were on at the same time being rotted pieces of shit on television. And Tony always got so much, like, glory and praise for it. And that always annoyed me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's never really ever a moment where Carrie's not completely selfish and self-centered.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, maybe they're shocked because, you know, maybe the youth are a little bit more evolved and sort of a in touch with their mental health side of things. And right. Maybe they just caught on a little bit quicker than all the rest of us dumb bitches. Right. But, you know, like... I think people wanted to be Carrie's because they wanted to fuck up royally and have this slew of men following them. They wanted the Aidens.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the same way that people watch Teen Mom and they look up to Chelsea for finding that man with the voice.
Right. That shrill, shrill man.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, she is annoying. And I have to admit, like, it took me a while. I don't think I ever really, like, saw myself in Carrie. But the older I got, the more I was like, wow, she really fucking sucks.
Yeah, like, she's a piece of shit. She's a terrible friend, terrible girlfriend, terrible wife, not a good employee, bad with money. Like, and that's, yeah, like, sort of the point. I'm always like, whenever people say that, and they're like, you know what, Carrie, not good. I'm like, yep.
I just watched the episode where Samantha comes out and she starts dating that artist, and then the girls leave and it's just Carrie, Charlotte, and Miranda, and they're walking and they're talking about Samantha, and Carrie's complaint is that she had the story of the night because she had had a really good orgasm earlier and Samantha managed to, like, upsex her, and she was genuinely upset.
Fuck off. I just recently watched the one where she, one of my favorite episodes, by the way, where she gets furiously, like, feverishly mad at Charlotte because Charlotte won't just give her money.
Uh-huh.
And Charlotte's like, girl, like, you are financially irresponsible. Like, you spend thousands of dollars a month on shoes and you don't have money. And you're, yeah, mad at me for not giving it to you. And I remember as a young person being like, wow, Charlotte's such a selfish bitch.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And then, yeah, I got older and I was like, oh no, Carrie's like a fuck up. Like, the older I got, I guess you're right. It's like, the older I got, the more I realized, like, you're supposed to see yourself in Carrie, not because she's like, she's like faking it. Like, she's like faking all of it. Really, it's like a fake, mm-hmm, until you make it kind of gig, because she's a complete mess. Yeah. Like, that's the part of it that you're supposed to see yourself in. It's not because she, like, has good shoes. It's because she's, like, literally can't afford to pay her rent but has good shoes. Like, that's the relatable part.
Right. Like, you know, girls wanted to move to New York because they thought that they would just be, like, effortlessly thin,
right,
manage to, like, make ends meet somehow all the time, right, look fabulous, have men just throw themselves at you. I've had these, like, all-encompassing, so intense relationships that you think that we're supposed to be having, and just, like, be in New York, and I'm just gonna make it work. So stupid.
He has something called ADHD, and, yeah, because of it, he's a sex maniac.
<That's> so stupid.
He plays me like one of his little flutes.
Hey, Ray, want to play me? Okay.
Okay. Oh, I got my rant out. I needed to see. This is actually good for me. I needed this. I needed this whole thing.
I'm having so much fun, Troy.
Okay, I want to move on, and I want to talk to you because I feel like I've been very negative about this. I want to talk to you about Bennifer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And
okay, yeah,
I'd like to see.
I heard your thoughts on Beyond the Blinds, your very new podcast with Kelly, aka, yeah, Lady Beach. And yeah, you had some feelings and they really didn't align with mine.
Good. So, okay, good. This is what I was hoping. I want you to be like, turn me around. Like, what am I not seeing?
I think it's funny. Here's my thing.
Okay.
I think it's like, it's obviously tongue-in-cheek, but I also think he is just, like, just smashing, they're just having such good sex. I think he's deep-dicking her down, and they're just, like, having a good time. She's like, I have the kids. Mm-hmm. I had my love. with Mark Anthony or whoever. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that that Ben had been they'd been communicating this whole time, or he had been writing her love letters or something. I can't remember what you said, but I see it for them because I too love a damaged man with a hammer in his pants. There's nothing better to me. I love it so much. It's not gonna work out. This is not the great love story of our time. Don't take any of this seriously and just have a good time. Just enjoy it for what it is. Just two idiots who are just drunk on each other's endorphins and hormones and, you know, just giving a little wink to the camera.
You know what? That's such a good way to look at it. I've had a lot of people message me and be like, it's honestly just fun. And it's also a really nice distraction from sad news. And I guess I didn't really think of it that way, but it's true. It is it is fun. I guess I just, it felt so heavy-handed and it felt kind of try hard in a way where I'm like, oh no, I don't want you guys to feel like you're Jennifer, you guys are literally iconic. All of the couples
you don't
have
to do this.
Yeah, you guys don't have to do this. People are copying you when they go out and ask to be photographed. You are the pinnacle of a tabloid couple in the best way. You don't have to be calling the paps and telling them that you're at fucking Arthur Treacher's or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Something about it is a little bit embarrassing. When Tom Hiddleston and Taylor Swift dated and he wore that I Heart TS shirt and at Kennebunkport or whatever beach they were at. That shit's funny to me. And I see a lot of similarities.
Can we just talk about the fact that I quoted Arthur Treat? Am I 97 years old? I couldn't have given them a Long John Silver's.
All right.
What? You guys listen to me? What? Good Lord. But no, yeah, it feels... Do you believe the theory that any of it was for
Jenny from the Block?
Yeah.
Movie or video? I would like to see it. I mean, it seems the things are there, the comparisons are there, and I see it, and I would not be surprised, but I almost feel like if we're all catching on to that, just to release the tape now and let's just get it over with. If that's what you're going to do, then do it now. Cause I'm not going to care for too much longer.
Yeah. That's the thing is this is not it's not 2004 anymore. So, our attention spans are much different than they were a million years ago. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to care.
Yeah, this is a vacation bay situation. I'm having fun now, but I know this is not going to be anything, and I'm going to leave and I'm going to forget about this immediately. So,
right.
Not too invested.
You're right. You're right. I got to just allow it to be fun. It's Ben Affleck. I guess it's maybe also because I'm God, could you have gotten him at a worse time? He's so gross right now. I mean, he's
just
made
sweating Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh my God. And it's what is he is he partnering with Dunkin' Donuts or something? What is going on?
What is going on? It felt very strategic.
The juggling of the coffees is every single day is a little much for me. You know what I mean? It's mostly him. I'll be honest. It's not her.
Yeah.
It's never Jennifer for me. It's him. So gross to me. And I don't know. I'm girl, get in there and clean him up like you did so many times before.
Yeah, I mean, Ben does give, never flushes the toilet. He always leaves his seat up, and he never, ever flushes. He does have that vibe.
Totally. He's just, really gross. But, you know, you would definitely, I couldn't think of a man that I'd want to have sex with more in the same sense.
Yeah, he leaves wet towels on the floor. even in the finest hotel, somehow the pillowcase is off the pillow.
Right, just gross boy stuff.
Yeah, but you're still face down, ass up, and loving your life.
Right, with stray poker chips hitting you in the head. You're like, where are these coming from? Where were you tonight, Ben? No, you're right. I gotta just let it be fun. I'm along for the ride. I'm waiting to see what happens. You know, I would love for this to become a music video moment or something. I would like for something to come of all of this, to be honest.
Yeah, but again, like, y'all got like 6 weeks to get this shit out, because like,
yeah,
yeah,
we've basically already seen it, to be honest.
Really.
Well, the last thing I wanted to talk to you about tonight, and I know that this will probably go for a little while because we both will have many thoughts.
Bitch, let me get my cigarette.
I need to ask you, Cara Berry, about your thoughts on Erica. I just watched a new episode like a minute before we started recording, so.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you think it's fair to ask my thoughts on Erica Jane or everybody else's reaction to Erica Jane? Or both?
Do I think it's fair to ask her about the stuff?
R.E., like, just specifically with this episode, was it about Erica or was it about everybody else?
I don't know. It's weird. And maybe it's both, because I'm like, I really do think that, like Sutton, for example, I really do genuinely believe that with Sutton being such an uptight, staunch plantation white woman, that she is genuinely concerned about whether or not some of her finances could be pulled into this somehow, or like if she'll be held accountable for knowing some weird shit because she's, you know, filming this reality show. But I also, at the same time, I'm like, Erica is blood in the water, you know, like,
yes,
at any moment that they need to spice things up, or if they don't know what to talk about tonight, or if they don't want to be in the hot seat or whatever, it's like, we'll just ask Erica about Tom. Like, what did you say about him driving off a cliff, girl?
Like, it's, she is like you said, like, blood in the water. Like, what? It's weird that you guys are acting like it's weird that Sutton is concerned. Like,
right.
I do have to roll my eyes a little bit about the Sutton of it all, because it's like, well, what do, girl? You just sit on boards? Like, is it really that important in the grand scheme of things?
She's like, I am a member of the ballet. Like, what does that mean?
Right. Like, I don't think anybody's like coming for Sutton Boutique, because I don't think literally anybody's going to that boutique, but on the other hand, it's like, yeah, you guys have every right to be concerned. You're filming with this girl. Now the lawyers just said last week that you guys have to hand over every receipt, any footage that you guys have associated with Erica. So it is an annoyance at the very least. And you know, she isn't telling the truth. There are too many discrepancies that are too big to not have questions about, and to act otherwise, Lisa, is stupid.
She's just it's a real testament to how much of an obnoxious person she is, to be honest. It's like, it's really like, it's like, I understand that you can't turn down this big massive paycheck, you know, when you are going through this, and but it is still absurd that she feels like she can walk into these people's houses for parties and shit.
Tell it, Troy.
I mean, like, wearing fucking head to toe, you know, designer clothes still, having a driver and shit, showing up. And then what are you expecting that you guys are going to fucking talk about when you are the biggest news story in the entire world? Like, what do you think is going to happen? It's absurd.
You spent a whole season talking about a damn adopted dog. Did you not think that you would be public enemy number one?
Right.
Like, are you dumb or are you stupid?
It's so true. If this was happening to anybody else, she would be up their ass.
Yeah. My husband's a lawyer. And I, you know, like, she would be pulling the Tom card if the shoe were on the other foot. I don't want to be associated. Tom doesn't want to be associated with this, you know? Like, come on, girl. Stop playing in my face.
It's absurd. It's really absurd.
It's absurd.
honestly, if this is supposed to be, I'm really alarmed by the fact that I guess this is supposed to be like the broken down version of Erica Jayne. Like, in what world? She's still showing up places in crazy fucking designer outfits. And like, by the way, her house, her struggle home.
Oh, her little dollhouse in Hancock Park?
Right. It's on the side of a mountain. It's a several million dollar fucking home. Like, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me right now?
Her little, like, you know, yeah. Her tiny, tiny little casita, $10,000 a month. Poor thing.
Like,
how could she hardly fit all that couture in that home?
You know, the moment of her walking up and turning off the, she's had so many Days of Our Lives moment this year. But her walking up to the Pretty Mess sign and saying, I don't know if it's over, and turning off the fucking sign, like, am I supposed to feel bad for you because you're turning off your Pretty Mess neon? Girl.
Literally, like, this was a series finale of Cheers, bitch. Like, girl, I'm here.
It's so ridiculous. No, you're totally right. They all have every right to want to know what the hell is going on. And also, the shit is fucked up. Even if it wasn't like having anything to do with like the law, just on a human level, it's like, I would like to know if you, my friend, were involved in stealing money from these people. Like, yeah. I'm allowed to want to know.
Yeah. And the only, let the record show, counsel, the only reason why she started mentioning the victims is because Garcelle gave her that personal story about her sister. Mm-hmm. You will not tell me any differently. Garcelle put her in a position where she was like, well, there's nothing I can say about that. That is an ironclad story that if I say anything, I'm going to look like an even bigger asshole than I already do. So only now do I have to admit that those victims deserve what they got in the most vague way.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's not about me. It's about those victims. Like, girl, you have not said that one time this entire year.
Not even intimated for one second that that's how you feel.
All you've done is show up in Dior in full hair and makeup and cry about how hard your life is.
Right.
Because you...
I had to open my own bank account today.
I don't know, Kyle. Get the fuck out of here. It's really wild. I mean, this has to be... Do you think this is like one of the best seasons of Beverly Hills in history?
100%. The last two episodes have been, one of the best two episodes in Housewives history, I think.
Yeah.
It last week set some very clear alliances and teams that I think are going to be everlasting. I don't know how you come back from this again, Lisa Rinna.
Right.
Dorit, how are we coming back from this, Dorit?
Right.
This is really like, I don't know how does Lisa Rinna come back from this?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how any of them come back from this, to be honest. Like, even just with like the, you know, it's like all we've known, I think Kyle said this in the last episode or the one before, like, all we've known of Erica since we met her was like how much money she has. And like her identity has been that of a wealthy person, like
mm-hmm.
a person who blows through money and wears $40,000 tiger rings and like, you know, spends $50,000 a month on glam and is unapologetic about it. And every single song she performs has something to do with spending money and being like, it's so overwhelming. Even still, like, we're like 12 episodes in and I'm like, I'm still so overwhelmed by it.
You literally have a song with a dollar sign replacing the S in the title. And you want to ask us where the money went. Excuse me?
I'd love to know where the money is gone. It's like, well, according to the LA Times, like actually, if I will be given a minute to pull up my phone, right? It says that $25 million of it was transferred into your business account and you used it to pay Makeup by Mario. So girl, we're asking you, why are you asking Sutton where the money is? Teddy doesn't know.
Truly, truly. She's I don't appreciate when people think that they're playing us and that they're getting over on us. And Erica's really pushing that with me. Really, really pushing that. This is bold on her part. It's weird. Like, what do you think her motivation really was? Do you really think that she thought she was going to come on here on the stage and trick us all?
Kind of. I really do. I mean, I think she thought, like, I'll just go and get ahead of it and everybody will believe. I think that Erica has more faith in, like, I think that she believes the hype about herself and she always has.
Yeah.
And I don't think that she sees the way that, she doesn't see herself the way we see her. Like, we see her as, like, aloof and cold and, you know, we don't really know anything about her after all these years. Like, there's nothing to sympathize with. If Erica Jane went to jail, nobody would cry. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to see, like, even if you compared her to, like, Teresa, right? Teresa, yeah, for better or for worse, has poured her heart out on this franchise. She's given us
everything. As much as she can, as much as Teresa is capable of, sure.
Exactly. She is, like, you know, we've seen her parents die, we've seen her children grow up, we've seen her issues with her husband. I mean, we've really seen, like, every nook and cranny of Teresa's life, whether she likes it or not. So her going to jail felt emotional. It was like, wow, Tree is going to jail. She's an idiot, but, like, Teresa Giudice is, like, going to fucking prison. We don't know anything about Erica. There's nothing to, she's given us nothing. She has given us nothing.
She really, I think, overplayed her hand on this, like, ice queen, this elusive, I'm wrapped in a riddle and cash thing, because now it's like, we were invested in Teresa. We were invested into the girls. We were invested in the family. We were invested in this family being torn apart. But Erica, just like, oh, you have this, like, little old man who was an evil person, and here you are, the Natasha to his Boris, it seems like. Right. What are we going to feel bad for you about?
Yeah, because you can't go to the temple in your house anymore.
Right.
That's where I go to unwind.
Tiago can't shit next to a football-sized pool. Like, okay, sorry.
Sorry. Like, I don't really know much else about. I know you're from Georgia. I know that you allegedly have a son. I've heard tell you have one. I haven't seen him. And that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing really to emotionally attach, for us to feel for her for.
Yeah, and I really think she overshot her, like, I think that she really thinks that the fans, like, love her in a way that they, like, actually don't. Like, yeah, it's fun to pat the puss and, like, go watch you perform expensive, but, like, people don't, like, ride hard for her. Like, it's not the same thing.
No. And then you're presenting as if you had this, like, happy, but maybe a little bit different, but still functional and happy relationship and marriage. But now you're saying, you're going from saying, I don't know if he has messages, to posting screenshots on your Instagram and saying that you knew this whole time. And they're just like a revolving door of hoes. And it's like, which, it can't be all of those things. Like Sutton said, like, you can't be smart. And, like, you have to be smart or you have to be ignorant. You can't be both.
Yeah, like, is he cheating on you with a bunch of gumads, or is he senile?
Right.
And driving into trees.
Right. Right.
I don't.
And she was so stupid for when they brought up the litigation and how there was a discrepancy between her being adamant that all of this was a result of this, like, him being flung off a cliff, as opposed to the truth, where the LA Times is saying that this burn victim has been dealing with Tom's bullshit for a decade. And her response is, well, they just got to litigation. Well, what do you think has been happening for the past other 9 years, girl? Right. He's been trying to get his money. Right. He's been lied to. Like,
I can't. It's just, it's interesting to think, like, what will become of her, because she can't go back to being Erica Jane. Like, she can't.
No.
It's impossible now. So she used to completely basically reintroduce herself as like a new identity to the public. Her reputation is completely fucked. Like, who would have ever thought the ice queen, the untouchable, like non-stick ice queen, would be in this situation? It's just crazy.
And like, she's really painting herself into a corner because, okay, let's say she, in my mind, Erica gets, you know, 16 months, a very white collar, easy prison, But like, now that you have been lying all over Bravo TV, how do you get a book deal? You know, like, you screwed yourself out of that one. Sorry, girl. You should have thought about that.
Right. It's the, for me, it's the messiness of deciding to go on Bravo and deal with this publicly and expect everybody to politely not ask you questions about it.
Right.
And then you that randomly.
That moment when Dorit revealed that they had all gotten together and Erica's was like, what?
Oh my God, I know.
Oh, it really, like, I chills.
I know.
What a moment.
Well, what do you think about the rest of the cast this year? I mean, like, aside from her.
Lisa just ruined her reputation forever.
Yeah.
Dorit, not too far behind. People, I think, need to stop giving Sutton so much. Like I said on my podcast, that I'm a Sutton for justice, which means that I'm not here for everything that Sutton has given us because she's weird, but I'm here for her asking the questions and I'm here for her having concerns, because if we didn't, it would just be Lisa running around screaming in an oversized cheetah print coat talking about how much she loves Erica. And like, I don't want to see that. It's bullshit. Right.
So it's like, total bullshit. You're right.
You know, it's, if we had to be sitting here watching like Dorit and Kyle and Lisa holding Erica's hand while she, you know, let another, you know, not waterproof mascara run down through her face, like, I would just die. I would stick my head in the toilet.
No, you're totally right. And the cool thing too about Sutton is that she seems to be, because she is wealthy, she seems to know a lot about like the court system, like, in a way that the other women obviously don't. I mean, they were just like dead-eye blinking at her when she was telling them everything at that meeting. So yeah, I mean, she's really been the past few weeks, like, thank God for her. Because you're right.
And honestly, like, another part of it, low-key, is I'm glad that Sutton is the one taking this instead of Garcelle. Because, like, God forbid we have the Black woman who's already at odds with some of the people be the one to have to be, like, the hard ass, and it would be a whole other situation. I feel like if Garcelle was doing what Sutton did, I think there would be a lot of fans that had a different opinion about the approach.
I could not agree with you more, for sure. I mean, even just in the response to, like, the last little moment that they had together, it's like, it's wild. It is, I'm really, really happy that Garcelle isn't the one, like, taking the brunt of that. And her approach, even when they did all get together at Kyle's house, was so, it was just so Garcelle. It was so cool and honest and like, bitch, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm thinking. And I really honestly don't care enough about you or know you well enough to care about your thoughts or how it makes you feel, because this is some fucked up shit. Like, you deserve to feel a little uncomfortable when you're showing up to a dinner party and the LA Times released an article about you that morning that your husband stole money from burn victims. Like, you kind of deserve to feel the tiniest inty bit uncomfortable over your turkey. Like, hello.
You're absolutely right. And I was I gonna ask you, So there had been rumors, and Dorit had been saying in interviews leading up to the season that, you know, like, who did you think is the most fake cast member? And she said Garcelle. So people have been wondering this whole time what happened between Dorit and Garcelle.
Right.
And now finding out that this was the moment of Garcelle being like, you didn't say that. That was not what you said the other day. Just calling her out of that table because Dorit decided to, like, pussy pop her way around and, like, try to treat Erica with kid gloves. Mm-hmm. And Garcelle was like, no, ma'am. And to find out that was the moment. Oh, my God, Dorit.
I know.
You're really pushing it.
They really are terrified of Erica, huh? Like, Dorit's terrified of her.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't understand it. I mean, she does have a really... Her presence is uncomfortable to me. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, she makes me uncomfortable just watching her on TV. I couldn't imagine if I was, like, sitting next to her at a dinner table like that, and she's, like, blank staring, giving everybody really, really weird looks and one word, very deep voiced answers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Erica's weird.
Gosh, don't you feel kind of duped? Like, as duped as, remember when we all found out that Monique and Candace got into a fight and everybody was like, yes, Monique, beat her ass.
Right.
And then we all watched the season and we were like, ooh, things were maybe a little bit more complicated.
Right.
In the beginning, the Beverly Hills trailer, you know, we saw Erica threatening Sutton, like, or what? And everybody, me personally, was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm loving to see Erica go after Sutton. But now I'm like, oh, because Sutton's been carrying this torch of Erica being bullshit.
Right.
It's right. Flipped me upside down.
Totally. Oh my God, I forgot about that moment in the trailer.
Or nothing, Erica.
Or what? I mean, she's really, like, you know, she's intense. Like, I don't know. I would probably be weird and clinking my silverware if I was sitting next to her. I'd be like, eek, she's fucking weird. Wait, let me ask you, over this, at least just this season, have your thoughts on my Kyle Richards softened even the tiniest bit? Like, even the littlest bit?
A little. I'm just very confused at, like, she's talking out of both sides of her mouth,
mm-hmm.
in a way that Garcelle should be grateful, or that I'm grateful that Sutton's carrying the torch instead of Garcelle.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like Kyle should be grateful for having Lisa and Dorit take the heat off of her, because I feel like she's being as sometimey as the other two, but she's going about it better. Kind of. I don't, like, Kyle always gets off on, like, the grace of somebody else being a little bit more horrible.
That is very true. I mean, that's very, very true. She never allows herself to be the one to really take the heat. Like, she's really good at pushing it off on other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I do think that I think that she struggles with it because for whatever reason, Erica feels some sort of, like, closeness to her. And I think that, like, they still are in that place of, like, oh my God, Erica, open up to me. Like, Erica is like when a cat chooses you, you know, in front of a big group of people. And it's very sort of like, you want everybody to see, oh my God, this cat chose me. None of you, it loves me kind of gig. Erica gives me that vibe, and I feel like right now Kyle's like, oh my God, Erica's like choosing me to open up to, but then at the same time, like, she's a crook and stole money from literal children.
You definitely see Kyle being like, oh damn, I really hitched the ride of loyalty onto this maybe too quickly.
Right.
I feel bad now. It's interesting, but, like, she wasn't saying anything at that dinner either. She wasn't really saying anything at all. And compared to, I felt like she and Dorit were kind of on the same level, where Dorit was saying a lot of things with her chest.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle was kind of backing her up when they had that meeting with Sutton. But then once they got to that dinner, it was quiet.
It was very quiet. Yeah, I thought that was, like, I was really honestly shocked by that. I really thought that they were all going to come in, like, guns ablaze. I really did.
I have a theory that Lisa, Kyle, and Dorit hopped on a group chat after this conversation with Sutton, and Lisa bullied them and was like, don't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be supportive of her. We need to have them look bad and, like, us look like the good guys. And they got scared.
It's true. And for whatever reason, Lisa's still drinking the Erica Jane Kool-Aid. Like, she's still...
Mm-hmm.
She's still patting the puss. Like, Lisa's still in a place of puss pat.
Yep.
And we've all moved completely on from expensive Erica, you know?
It's weird. And it's weird to the point where you almost want to look closer and be like, why is she so loyal to her even now?
Right. Like, what does she do for you? She doesn't do anything for you. Like,
yeah.
She's seems like an awful friend. Like, just in a completely just cold, like, nothing friend. Like, what is it that she does for you that, like, why do you, admire her so much? It's, like, weird.
Right. Like, am I misremembering this great relationship between Lisa and Erica? Because it's not coming up in my memory.
No, it's very strange. It's really weird. And I mean, I have to say, like, my favorite part of that dinner party was the end of it when Kathy Hilton pulled out like an eyeliner pencil and said, like, it'll work itself out. It'll work itself out. Like, get her eyeliner.
It's good practice, Erica. Yeah. She was right. I love that, like, little moment between she and Garcelle where Garcelle's like, why are they competing over who likes Erica the most? And Kathy's like, yeah, and who knows her longer? Like, she really plays... Kathy Hilton is the only person who can play smart and ignorant at the same time.
Totally. Totally. Because she is so... Come on, she's so smart. Like, Kathy is so smart. Look, we know what Kathy Hilton is capable of. And, you know, I mean, we have to think, like, her daughter obviously learned how to pretend to be dumb from somebody.
Say it.
Hello. You know what I mean? Like, it's wild how similar, even with Kyle, like, it's crazy how similar they all are in a weird way. Like, Kyle so much, like, so often reminds me of Paris and, like, physical ways and in the way she communicates, and like, I don't know, it's just weird. The Hilton sisters are fucking wild.
They are so wild. I cannot wait for this conversation next week where Kathy and Kyle have about American Woman.
Oh my god, I know. I'm so excited. Holy shit. Well, I think that we just talked for an hour, and that's exactly what I needed. It was the therapy I needed.
This was a treat, as always, Troy. An absolute treat.
Well, Kara, tell people where they can... I can't imagine anybody listening to this doesn't know where they can find you, but just in case, tell people where they can find your podcast and stuff.
Yeah, I have a podcast called Everyone's Business But Mine with Kara Berry. You can find that everywhere. You can find me on Instagram at Everyone's Business But Mine. I also have a Patreon at patreon.com/EBBM podcast. I just finished a month-long series on Ilaria Baldwin, and no, I'm not ashamed of that. It was a good, fun time. So I've got a bunch of other content on there that you can check out. Bethany Getting Married, Lindsay and Oprah. It's a whole weird wild mix of content, so you can check that out. And yeah, that's about it.
Yes, Kara invited me on her Patreon to record. And what episode of Lindsay did we do? I don't even remember.
Ooh, I don't know, but it was a good one. I think it was the episode where Oprah says, hello, let's celebrate that, I think.
Oh, I think you're right.
But I think it was. It was a good time. Joy's on there, all up and down in those episodes. You guys can check all that out.
Well, Kara, thank you so much for doing this. I'm obsessed with you. I'm happy that we got to talk.
The feeling's mutual. You can literally call me anytime. Call me if you want to reach me. Anytime you need me, I'll be there.
Well, guys, I hope that you enjoy the rest of your night, day, morning, afternoon, week, month, year, and all that. Kara, I love you, and I will talk to you later.
I love you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.